Hey, it's Matt and Jordan.
Excuse me, I would like to talk too, thank you very much.
No one wants to hear from you.
Shut up.
We're with All Things Mysterious, a podcast about the supernatural, true crime, and the unexplained.
Join us every Monday and Friday for a new episode on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or your favorite podcast app.
To keep up with us and all of our shenanigans and news, follow our Facebook page, All Things Mysterious Podcast.
We keep you guessing.
Two timelines, one impossible mystery. Max Caulfield, photographer in residence at the prestigious Caledon University, discovers her closest new friend, Sophie, dead in the snow. Murdered. To save her, Max tries to rewind time, a power she's not used in years. Instead, Max opens the way to a parallel timeline where Sophie is still alive and still in danger. Max realizes the killer will soon strike again, in both versions of reality. With her new power to shift between two timelines, can Max solve and prevent the same murder? Pick up the deluxe edition today to obtain the spooky outfit and decades outfit packs in-game. Fans that purchase the Ultimate Edition will gain access to everything from the Standard and Deluxe Editions, along with the Final Fantasy VII Outfit Pack, Fan Favorite Outfit Pack, Paw Prints Outfit Pack, and additional exclusive in-game cat content. Buy Life is Strange Double Exposure. Available now on Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 5, and PC.
Rated M for Mature.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
I am sitting in the corner. Luscious locks.
I just got so much hair.
Ooh. Welcome to our world, baby.
It goes down to my chin. Oh my gosh.
For those of you that cannot see us, we are in our Halloween getup. Because this is our Halloween episode.
And I am wearing the Velma wig.
The Velma wig.
And I don't need the glasses because I already have glasses. They're just not the same black color. But I'm telling you, I just put this on and I'm burning.
I'm telling you, those wigs are hot.
How do women do it?
I don't know. They are so hot.
I film rotten, wigged with a full face on. Mm-hmm. Even in the winter, I turn all the heat off. When I'm done, I'm like, I can't feel my toes, but my head's cool.
Yeah. Now, you know, I just figured. Yep. I just thought that our listeners who are joining us by video are probably confused now. They probably cannot tell Kim and I apart. Yeah.
Probably.
From when she wears the wig.
I know I can't.
We have the same amount of facial hair and everything.
Hey, that is not true. I pluck mine on a daily basis. Thank you.
Your skin is much more supple like you. Looking.
That's for sure. Mine's old and raggedy.
Now, Kim, what are you? You got to tell us.
I am a butterfly. No, I'm a bee. I'm a bee.
That dementia's kicking in real hard.
And Kim. Not only am I bee, I'm the queen bee. Because
she's a queen of something.
If you like it, put a ring on it.
My little crown up there on my antennas.
I am Mike Wazowski, but I prefer to say I'm the one-eyed monster, otherwise known as a penis.
Oh my gosh.
Like nobody got that, right. Got that reference.
Some people didn't. They're like,
everyone was like, what is that? Oh my gosh.
I've used that joke before, and people, I guess, had never heard of a penis called the one-eyed monster. I'm like, what? Oh yeah.
Now, if you're joining us on video, you're probably also noticing that we are not in the same room. We are in a different bunker today.
Yes.
It is designed as a dungeon.
Rich.
That scared me for a moment. Just brought his fan. And this place is crazy. So you'll probably see a picture of me behind me.
That's not a picture of you.
It is, too.
Like
it's a man.
A Viking orc. Oh. I love the view.
That's why Josh picked that seat.
It is.
Just leave me alone here for
Shameless
a while.
Like, where do you want to sit? I'm like, right here is just fine.
And behind Kim and Josh, you'll see pictures of Kim throughout her childhood.
Got Drogon behind me.
Whatever.
Some dragons.
Whatever.
Look, blowing fire. That's when I met you, Kim. Mm-hmm. You're always blowing
fire. So just to set the stage a little bit, Shane and I used to work with somebody in hell, mm-hmm. and he had quit in hell to start a realty business. And this is the basement of his office. He has made this into a Dungeon and Dragon mm-hmm. dungeon, and he has decked it completely out.
It is so crazy.
People awesome. Can rent it and come in here and play Dungeons and Dragon and have a good old time, and it looks like a dungeon.
It does. And this table is massive. Cool. It's so nice. Mm-hmm. These chairs are so nice. I don't know that I've ever... Look how tall it is.
I know. That's for you. I mean, my chair is about as tall as I am. But.
Yeah. Kim sat down. She goes, I might need a pillow.
A pillar.
Is your feet dangling?
No, they're not.
Well, that's good.
I love that thing.
It wouldn't have been. I just would have been having to sit a little closer to the edge just so that I could sit upright, and it would have started hurting my back. So I just stuck something behind me to make it.
Now, we also have in this dungeon this little iPad that has all these little things on it. And I doubt that our listeners will be able to hear it, but there's sounds. So I'm going to play an adventure.
There it goes.
Oh.
So nice. It's adventuring and you can play multiples. So I'm going to play the...
And then the warriors set out on their quest.
It does sound very...
Yes.
Majestic. Very. And then they also have all this lighting. So
lighting,
you can change,
you can change it to any color like light.
They had bird sounds. I was like, ooh, when you're like walking through a forest.
Well, we walked in here and they had it on and I thought, what the hell? They got some birds down here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Keeping all these birds.
Everybody needs to make sure that they tune in next week because we're going to actually have the creator on here and he'll show us all the cool stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Awesome.
All right, guys. So I have some annoyances that I've discovered throughout the week and I just wanted to share them with you real quick.
Oh, Lord.
We're not complainers, though.
No, no. We Our are listeners not know complainers. That Kim and I, we just don't complain.
We don't complain. Never. Ever. We go with the flow.
Oh,
yeah. Spontaneous.
I'm the definition of flexible. Okay.
What was that?
Something was bothering me. Look, there's a cord thing on my mic, and I was like, oh, I should hook that up. But then you know how I am. My ADHD is like, oh, I don't care what everyone else is doing. I don't care that we're recording. I'm just going to click that in.
I don't know if everybody can see it, but I am still crocheting. However, I brought a different project because I knew I wouldn't be able to handle the big book.
That would get hot, especially in our costumes.
Yeah, it would have been so hot.
Okay, so this week I was annoyed by five things, and I've limited my list.
Only five.
Yeah, only five. I've limited it to five. I am so annoyed by people who insist on giving unsolicited advice.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there is nothing worse than these people who feel like they have to tell you, like, how to live your life. And my favorite, though, is when their life is a mess.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, you know what you should start doing?
Let me tell you.
You should start going to the gym, or, you know, you could start doing this. And I'm like,
why would I want to go to a gym?
Here I am trying to think about how deep to dig a hole.
Other than
to put your damn body in
there. Other than to sit and watch the daddies work out. I mean, that's all I would do.
That's like me telling a parent how to be a parent.
Right. Well, and I feel like, you know, there are some friends who do this, but normally friends, you just don't take it to heart.
It comes from a care, like, hey, yeah. I'm concerned for you.
But you know, the next level of unsolicited advice that I cannot stand. Above friends, because, you know, if I'm close to a friend, whatever, give me your advice, because I'm probably giving you some. But family members. Family members are like, you know, I think you should start living your life like that. You should start going to church. You should find a prostitute.
You've been talking to the water.
Right.
Church and a prostitute.
And the only thing worse than family and friends.
Strangers.
Absolute strangers.
You know what you should do?
Or acquaintances.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
You know?
I got to know. Who done that to you?
I can't tell you, Kim, because they're no longer with us. And
show
that
us on
would
the pumpkin.
Implement.
Were they a sausage?
Yeah. You mean no longer with us on this earth?
Yeah, no, well, no, they're still on the earth.
Oh, that'd be speaking ill of the dead.
They're just dead to him.
Yeah.
Dead to
I see.
Well, I started trying to dig a 6-foot hole, but then I got tired.
It's hard.
It's hard. It's a lot of labor.
It's heavy.
It is. So they're, you know, a couple feet down in there.
But God, I'm having flashbacks. A pool.
I know. Josh, we should make a pond.
Over my dead body.
You have enough land. It could be. You have enough land.
Start giving me advice and it will be over your head. What?
You got all that land. You could make
one. I'm not putting... Kim.
Hire you an excavator.
If I ever had a pond, I've done lost my mind. I'm not doing it.
Who are you and what
Josh and I could come out there and go swimming. Or go swimming. No. I didn't mean swimming.
Look,
I meant fishing.
Over here. Fishing. Okay. So the second annoyance I've had this week.
Please tell us.
These people who do not use their damn turn signals.
Oh, I hate it.
Oh, it's just all you got to do is click. One little click.
I'm going to go hide in the
corner
for this.
With me, it's a habit.
One.
I even, like, when I'm pulling into your driveway and one's behind me just out of habit.
I mean, you don't know there might be a person walking around a tree and then whatever the case is.
I'll admit, I'm pretty good in town. But if you get me out in the country, there's not usually many people around anyway.
Mine's just habit. I don't even realize. I hate the other aspect of that, though, when people put their damn turn signal
too
long and you're like, where are you turning?
Oh, yeah, that's really annoying.
Or they forget to turn it off, and for 10 minutes, they have that turn signal on, and I can't focus on anything else but that dang turn signal.
How do you not hear it?
I'm, flagging them down. Your turn signals. You need to turn your turn signal off.
My grandpa used to do that. I can remember following him for some reason or another, and he would forget that his turn signal was on, and he would just be driving along, and I'm like...
That deaf old man. Mm-hmm.
Well, he was
at least he used it. But what happened was on Thursday, I was driving on I-69, an interstate, and someone tried to jump right in front of me, and they didn't turn their damn turn signal on.
Jerks!
And I was just like, there's just these moments in life where I wish that I had a rocket that I could just.
Oh yeah.
And that's one of those moments.
I forget the name of the movie, but these kids get psychic powers. Mm-hmm. A car is pestering them on the road. So they just knock it off the side of the road. I'm like, oh,
Now I don't have road rage.
No? I do.
But sure? I've done my fair share of flipping people off and saying the F word.
You don't say that word.
Well, I got my wig on so I can be a little vulnerable.
I've gotten better because there's some points where I feel like I'm going to give myself a heart attack if I don't calm down.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the idiots on the road.
I do get road rage really bad.
It frightens me because I'm like, all these people are driving with me on these roads.
No, I get that way sometimes. If someone flips me off for the sole reason that I have an EV.
I'll follow them, pull up with my knife out.
Right.
I'm kidding.
I don't know you. Why do you care what I drive? What type of fuel my vehicle takes?
I hate when people ride your ass too. I'm like, I'm not going more than 4 over the speed limit. Just go around.
I like it when they ride my ass because I always yell.
Kim, pull my hair. Pull my hair.
Calm it,
bitch. You heard it here first.
Mm-hmm. All right. So my third annoyance of the week is these people who have loud phone call conversations.
Oh, yeah.
Full on.
Go to another room. Go outside.
In waiting rooms, at Walmart. Yeah.
When we worked in hell, we would go to the break room. Our buddy Dave and I, we would go to our break room and have lunch together just about every day for a long time. And there was a lady that always had a full-blown conversation on speakerphone so that the whole freaking thing, everybody could hear it. And we're like, yeah, we
don't
really
want to know this. Right.
We don't care about your damn life. What the hell are you doing?
And the thing is when these people do it in waiting rooms, all I can now focus on is this person on the phone, especially if they're on speakerphone. And I'm just thinking, who do you think you are?
Well, I'm here at the doctor, come to get my taint tickled.
Every time it happens, I always get this urge to walk over there and be like, ma'am, your STD test came back positive. I'm so sorry to tell you.
It is the herpes, the bad kind.
I'm glad that Josh and I both thought of herpes, of all things. Like, ma'am, you got the herp. So sorry to tell you this while you're on the phone. I tried to wait, but you didn't get off that damn phone.
You are pregnant.
Right. Fourth annoyance. And I call this camping. When Wi-Fi is inconsistent, you know what I'm talking about? Like you get on the public Wi-Fi or someone's house Wi-Fi and it just constantly kicks you off or the service, it's
loading.
Oh my gosh, yeah, nothing's working. And I'm like, it is 2024.
Right, almost 2025.
Why is this Wi-Fi dumb?
It should be fast lightning speed everywhere.
I should be able to put a video
about Wi-Fi. You want to talk about Wi-Fi? I am so pissed off at my internet provider.
And that's not like you.
Since February, they've raised it twice, almost $20.
Well, it costs a lot more to harvest that internet these days.
Now, I don't want to predict the future here, but I have a feeling that at some point in time, when you get your bill in the mail, because you know, Kim, she probably gets her bill in the mail. She sent mails them a check.
Porn.
Justice. No, I don't. I do it all online.
Sure. Look,
I pay all of my bills online.
Lying.
But she pays with nature's credit card.
Uh-huh.
Nope. I have apps for everything.
Never leave the house without
denied,
it.
Denied. Approved. Okay. But no, listen. When you get the bill, I'm just waiting for the day that it has a little spot below for you to leave a tip. Because you know, we're just in that tip maximum right now.
Yes.
Everywhere I go, there's a tip. And McAllister's.
Yep.
It asks you for a tip come across.
I was like, nope.
And I was like,
I can pick up my own damn sandwich. Yeah,
exactly. I was like, I'll happily come to the counter. I mean, we're not talking about they're bringing me drinks and refills. We got to do that manually.
Right.
I'm like, you're making me a sandwich. I don't tip myself.
No kidding.
I ordered both cold things either. So nothing had to be cooked. Just wrap it, cut it in half, and scoop some potato salad in a bowl. Like, I do that at home every day for free.
Right. All right. So my last annoyance are these people who, it's almost like their life's work that they have to micromanage everything. And I'm not just talking about these people who you work for and managers, but just these people who just micromanage the crap out of everything. And like, you know, you could be with your friend. Let's say, as an example, let's say you're with your friend and you want to go hang out that evening. And every little thing that you do, they already have planned out.
Oh, yeah.
To the very breath you take. And I'm like,
I will not go on trips with people like that at all. Worst types of
people. See, I do like to plan when I go on trips and stuff like that. But if we don't make it there or we decide to do something different, okay, fine. I'm not butthurt about it.
I get ideas and I'll look at the weather like, oh, if this one's outside, so we'll, but.
Yeah, that's the way I am. Because, I mean, most of the time I'm going to Tennessee and we always go to.
Right. You've done it already.
Cade's Cove, yeah.
A few truck stops. Yeah, Kim, we get it.
Lot lizard.
Yeah. But, okay, so. You can pick these people out, especially in the work environment, when every 5 or 10 minutes they come and check on you. Hey, just checking in, seeing how your work's going, how much have you gotten done? And I'm just thinking, can you just trust me to get this done? And if I don't get it done, just fire me.
Enemy number one.
Like when Kim and I worked in hell, we had some managers who were like that.
How you do
that? I mean, these people were down to. We're going to get me on a soapbox here. These people would make you do this clocky thing the moment you go to the bathroom. And if you dare for that week go to the bathroom too much, your time is clocked and you're going to get a dirty email or you'll get pulled into an office.
Ain't that illegal?
It probably is, but this place did not care. They were just people who
don't give a shit if you have IBS.
Exactly. Oh, guess what? They aren't there anymore.
Go figure.
Everyone hated them. They're probably buried somewhere.
Are you done?
Yeah,
I'm done. Something I want to bring up.
Okay, what do you want to bring up?
So I don't remember how much we've talked about it, but I know we've brought up the Menendez brothers before.
Yeah. Yes, I've been watching it.
Have you seen all of the t-shirts and stuff that say free the Menendez?
Yes, the Menendez.
Yeah, and I just wondered your guys' take on that. Do you think they should be freed?
Now, Kim, you're at the age that you probably remember the trial.
I do.
Because it happened, I think they got arrested in like 89. So Josh and I.
Yeah, that's probably about right.
I was just a twinkle in my daddy's eye.
In the first and second trials, I was born for the first trial.
Are they doing a trial again now? Or
I don't, I think that they're trying to get one. I think the state is trying to figure it out. Because of I think that Kim Kardashian was the one who first like sparked the movement, and then a lot of people on TikTok have made it blow up. But I watched the movie; it's on Netflix, and the movie is so confusing because it started out by giving you some of their side, but then they mixed it with like how the prosecution tried to portray it, and then it ends like the last half of the whole movie was. Basically, the opinion of the prosecution. And it was my mind was just jogged around.
Well, and it was a Ryan Murphy production too. So he, it's embellished. He's the same guy who does American Horror Story and Scream Queens, etc.
That makes sense.
So it's, embellished and dramatized and
that makes sense.
Gate up some.
Well, I'm no kidding.
Yeah.
I saw a couple pee-pees and I thought, they're saying that they were abused and you're showing some pee-pees and butts.
Like, that's, he's gotten a lot of flack from it I've seen on gay Twitter because, it's a very sensitive subject of murder and death and
all of a sudden molestation sexualized.
And people don't want to see nudity. Like,
no, I was shocked by it because I was like, this is
inappropriate.
Like a sex scene of some kind.
Do you think that they have paid their debt to society? Do you think they should be let out?
Ooh, Kim. So I am split because clearly there's evidence that other people have put accusation against the dad.
Right.
So that makes their story much more credible.
Right.
If it was just them and no one else saw anything, no abuse of any kind, then I would say, what everyone says when they're in prison or on trial, I didn't do it. I'm innocent. Or I did it because of self-defense.
I was going to say, they flat out admitted that they did it, right?
Not initially. Oh. Initially, they called 911 and they're like, oh my God, we found our parents like this. And it took a while because the Hollywood police are very customer service focused. And although they really should have, these two boys found their parents. They were the first ones on the scene. So they should have tested for
gunshot residue,
and they did not. And also, the weapons that were used were in their vehicle, but their vehicle wasn't searched. Mm. So, clearly there were some police missteps.
Okay.
And it wasn't until, I believe it wasn't until, I got a hair on it now. I don't know how you ladies can.
Why do you think I keep my hair so short?
Oh, okay. I feel like Fabio every
gotta
time
get
I...
you a hair tie when you go down.
So, the police clearly did not do their job. And what makes their story much more credible to me is the fact that everyone who was ever around or saw anything, and during the trials, they mentioned this, like the relatives and friends and stuff, that everyone knew that their dad made his shower larger so that the boys could shower with him. I'm not talking about children, because there are adults who bring their child in when they're real young. Right. Like our grandma used to,
we asked her, grandma, wish you were.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always used to take baths with the girls.
Yeah.
When they were young.
But he would do it when they are well into their teens, and it was completely like
huge red flag.
Yeah.
Like, and even those people that breastfeed until the kids in grade school.
Yeah.
Until
they can walk.
Too old.
Yeah, but I think really what the public didn't like during the second trial was the fact that after they killed their parents, they ended up, lying about it, first of all. And then they ended up getting caught after they had already spent like almost $1 million. And I think it was a couple $100,000, someone bought a new car, a real, real nice car, and
idiots.
They were going on trips and... But in my mind, I'm thinking, if they had a horrible childhood and were always at the mercy of their dad, the moment that they're released from their abuser,
right?
They have some money.
Yeah,
they want to feel happy. Like everyone else who comes into money of their own, they try to buy happiness. You know, we have a term for, when someone wants to go shopping to feel happy, So that retail therapy feeling.
Yeah.
So I kind of see it. But I also see why the public was suspicious during the second trial. And it was really interesting to me that that OJ was tried and released during the middle of their two trials, because they were first tried and it was a mistrial because it was a hung jury. So the jury couldn't decide. And so the first trial, the public was all for the boys. Like, they had so much support. But then OJ happened in the same county, same area. And so he got off of his crimes, whereas most of the public felt like he cheated the system.
God, nobody was watching nothing but the news for entire month.
Yeah.
Well, and then after that, that's really when the prosecution and the county and the judges like really wanted to hammer someone. And I think that's why they decided, well, you know, the next people up are going to be those two boys.
Right.
Let's
make
knock
an example.
Out. Yeah.
I remember when the trial was, and I always thought, yeah, they definitely done it. But I don't remember hearing anything about the abuse until much, much later after the trials and when they were older. And I feel that, yes, they did it. And they were wrong. They should not have done that. But I understand why they done that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they paid their debt. I think it's time for them to get out and be able to move on with their lives.
And I think it's also important to say that their family on both sides support them.
Right.
And think that they were abused and that they need to come out of prison because it's been too long. So
I think if they do, it should be still monitored.
Right.
Like
for a while, yeah, of course.
Court ordered therapy.
Yeah.
And just not so much. I don't think they're a danger to anyone.
No,
I don't think
either.
They'd ever hurt anyone again, just for their own benefit, not alone the trauma of what their father did, but then now the added trauma of spending all this time incarcerated and having people think that you're just, you know, a money hungry murderer.
Right.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, one of the things that brought them down that really tipped the police off that they were responsible is that their therapist that they had been seeing had been recording the sessions. And at some point in time, the boys had hinted that they killed their parents because they were being abused.
Mm-hmm.
And so he used it as an opportunity to say, well, you know, if you want me to keep quiet about this, I have some, you know, businesses that you could invest in.
Oh,
and we just need a couple $100,000 invested, you know.
People are so corrupt.
That makes my blood boil.
Yeah, and then it wasn't him that turned them over, though. The therapist was cheating on his wife with this lady, and he kept telling her for many months, you know, I'm going to leave my wife in 6 months. And it was always 6 months. And finally, one day, he ended up telling her about the conversation he had with the boys, you know, just as a way of, you know, those boys who are all over the news, you know, I'm their therapist and I've been recording their sessions.
How the hell did he get to become a therapist?
I know.
He should definitely not still be one if he is.
Right. Well, and then he tells her, I'm going to stay with my wife. It's not going to work out between us. And so she went to the police.
Good for
her. She's like, you know, he's been recording all these sessions and he's, you know,
good for
SOB.
Don't tell people shit and then break up with them.
Exactly.
Well, if you're going to do something shady like that, like blackmail people who are your clients,
right?
Yeah.
Who have been confessing and thinking that you're a safe person for them to talk to. I mean, like how bad would that mess you up that your parents abused you?
Right.
And then you go to a therapist. And
he
abuses them.
Basically abuses them in a different way.
Especially if they're talking about that with him, they had built up a certain level of trust with them.
They trusted him. Yeah. I mean, it's completely crazy. So crazy.
Yeah. When I've seen bits of this, the movie, and when that wig was ripped off the one at the dinner table, I screamed and laughed. I was not expecting that.
Now, I watched the movie and I watched the documentary that they put on Netflix too. And both of them
are so different. Them too.
They're both so different because the movie portrays the boys as monsters. I mean, the movie is called Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't portray them very well. But then the documentary portrays them in a better light, in my opinion.
I'm glad that they put it out around the same time.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like they both got pushed at the exact same time.
Okay.
And I almost wonder if it's because they had been working on the movie and then Netflix realized a lot of people aren't going to like this movie because there's a big movement for him.
We need to put it on both sides.
Yeah. So that was kind of my impression because if you look, Netflix, when I watched it, I finished it yesterday. It said both of them were recently added to Netflix. And I was like, two sides of the coin here.
Right.
I have to go back and make sure I have watched those because I think I have, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, I used to like the works of Ryan Murphy, like the first few seasons of American Horror Story. I watched religiously, and I watched the first season of Scream Queens. But when the first serial killer movie, was it Ted Bundy?
Probably.
One of the Evan Peters in it. It was entertaining, but it just, I toy that line.
Was it Jeffrey Dahmer?
I can't, the one that turned people into lampshades.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Jeffrey Dahmer. Okay. Yeah. There's so many serial killers. I get them. You know, I'm not good with names.
Jeffrey ate people, Josh.
Okay.
Ted Bundy didn't eat them.
Well, the one that with the people lamps and Niecy Nash was in it. And it was entertaining, but I toy that line with, I feel like when stuff's covered about, like, for instance, serial killers, I think it's okay to make movies and shows about them.
Yeah.
But it should not be
sexualized, first of all.
Sexualized, dramatized.
Yeah.
I don't think any theatrics should be added. I think it should be like the truth of what happened.
And the victims' families came out strongly against Netflix
and
for
I
doing
agree
it.
With them.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Our family's murder is not entertainment for the masses.
And it's not for you to make money from. No, it would be different if they were like, you know, all the proceeds are going to go to save the victims or whatever.
Right.
But even then, get the families involved. Yeah. Like, find out what their background was.
And if they say no, that means no.
Yeah.
Like, it's all crazy. That level of, you know, consent.
Right.
Do you remember when we went to Crime Con in Nashville?
Mm-hmm.
I had bought a book.
Yeah.
I finally read that book.
Oh, good.
And it was so interesting. I might do a mystery on it at some point, but just the gist is, it was called
that good of a book.
Helper Lord.
It was called.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
I wish I had hormone harmony when I was younger and still on my monthly visits from Aunt Flo. They were always the worst time of the month for me. And then when that monster menopause came creeping around, it was no different. I started taking hormone harmony because I was tired of suffering through hormone changes constantly raging in my body. I wasn't sleeping. I was always getting hot flashes that were so bad that I swore I started smelling bacon. Whether your Aunt Flo is still paying you a visit or you want some help unmasking the menopause monster, Hormone Harmony has made it easier than ever. They're zero sugar, gluten and dairy-free, non-GMO or third-party testing products help trap the symptoms of hormonal imbalance. Hot flashes and night sweats, feeling groggy, poor sleep, racing thoughts and low moods, uncomfortable gas and bloating, or even a low sex drive. Hormone Harmony can help with all of that. Don't you think it's time to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MYSTERY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com. And use the code MYSTERY for 15% off today. Shit.
Oh, shit.
Associate to the killer or something. I can't remember the name of it now.
Okay.
But it's basically a man that conditioned a teenager into helping him murder people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think I've seen a Lifetime movie about that.
It might be assistant to a murderer or something like
that. That basically is how you described it.
The vampire's assistant.
Now, the episode that we're doing today is our special Halloween episode, which means... All three of us prepared Scooby snack sized mysteries.
You guys better buckle in because I think this one's going to be a long one. We've already been talking for what, 30 minutes at least?
Exactly 30 minutes, Kim.
Look at that.
Her internal clock is a ticking. So who
That's
wants to go
thing.
First?
I'm svelting in my onesie costume. Let's let Shane go first.
All right.
Here's probably the longest.
It probably is. Let me get my papers clicked up here.
I'm like, mine's 4 pages.
Well, some of it's my unmasked information, and I have some more topics to talk about in unmasked. You know how it is.
Okay, let's go.
All right. So on a serene Sunday morning, on August 16th, 1942, Kim, where were you?
August 16th. I wasn't born in 1942.
She had a thing about it.
Well, it took me a second for it to click into my mind what year he said, because he said August 16th, and that's my birth month. So
sometimes I can just hear her dial-up head. You know, just clicking in.
Ding, she was still ding, sitting ding. In the sack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sitting in the sack. I'm going to puke. All right. So the world was embroiled in this chaos of World War II. Because I'm sure the moment you heard 1942, you thought World War II.
Sure.
Some of
sure.
us did. But the San Francisco Bay appeared calm that day, again, Sunday morning. And it was along this fog-kissed coastline that the U.S. Navy blimp L-8 lifted off from Treasure Island Naval Base. It was a routine anti-submarine patrol that was planned, and aboard were two experienced naval officers, Lieutenant Ernest DeWitt Cody and Ensign, I don't know if that's how he pronounced his name, it's E-N-S-I-G-N, Ensign, Charles Adams. I like Charles.
Charles. We'll call him Charles.
Yeah, there we go. So their mission seemed simple. They were to scan the Pacific waters for any enemy submarines that could be lurking off the coast that could threaten American ships, you know, the whole shipping industry. Well, what happened next was puzzling, and it's puzzled historians and mystery lovers alike for decades. A few hours after takeoff, the blimp was spotted drifting back toward land. Its shape was sagging, and it moved eerily silent above Daly City. It's Daly City, correct? Daly? D-A-L-Y? Daly? Kim doesn't have any idea.
Daly. I have no idea.
So this blimp crashed gently into a quiet residential street. And can you just imagine going about your morning, Sunday morning.
Watering the flowers.
Getting ready to leave for church, whatever it is. And all of a sudden this huge blimp just crashes into your neighborhood. I mean, I would have a panic attack.
I think the sky was falling.
Right. And then, as you can imagine, it startled all of those residents in that neighborhood. But ultimately, it caused minimal damage. I mean, when I say crash slowly, it was slow.
There, just this.
Well, if it was a blimp, right. If it was a blimp, it's not going to move that fast.
It kind of reminds me of Austin Powers, where like there's a person who's yelling.
Like 10 minutes.
So rushing to the scene, onlookers expected to see Cody and Adams in need of help. Instead, they found something more shocking.
Oh. Wait.
The gondola was completely empty.
What?
Yeah.
Where did they go?
Well, that's the question. Cody and Adams had vanished without a trace. There was no sign of a struggle. There were no distress signals sent up. And there was no malfunctioning equipment. Just an empty blimp.
Extra testicles.
Now, where did these two experienced naval officers go? And how did they disappear from a fully operational aircraft without a single distress signal? And what could have transpired in that fateful patrol? Well, we're going to get into it.
Today on the Twilight Zone.
Right. On the Unmasked episode.
Dun, 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 dun.
With Shannon a wig. Well, in the early 1940s, German U-boats terrorized. This is just some background information. These German U-boats were terrorizing both the Atlantic and Pacific coasts of the United States. And specifically, the U.S. Navy expanded its use of lighter-than-air, called LTA, blimps to defend the U.S. coastlines. Now, these airships were an ideal solution for this problem. They could hover over low altitudes, they could maintain speeds for observation, and they could stay afloat or aloft for far more than 24 hours. And they were perfect for spotting those periscopes that could come up from those submarines.
Oh, yeah.
Or they could also spot oil slicks that were left from submarines. Mm-hmm. By 1942, airship patrol squadrons were spread along both coasts, and they were tasked with surveillance, convoy escorts, and they were also tasked with search and rescue missions and training. So if you saw a blimp out there, you kind of knew that those things were happening. Now, blimp L-8 was built by Goodyear, the same people who build tires. And this was just one of those airships that could be patrolling. And at 150 feet long, it had a volume of 123,000 cubic feet of non-flammable helium.
Okay, non-flammable. They learned that.
Right. Yeah, they learned that the hard way.
And it was also equipped with depth charges. So the blimp was designed to defend the coast against any submarine threats. However, the L-8 was not equipped with machine guns on this particular flight, so some flights it could have. So it relied entirely on the watchful eye of its crew. Lieutenant Cody and Adams were both more than capable of handling this mission. Lieutenant Cody was 27 years old. He had flown over 2,000 hours, with 1,200 of those hours being in blimps. He was well known for his calm demeanor and professionalism. And then Adams was 34 years old. He was a technical expert with a background in mechanical engineering, and he had a reputation for being very dependable. So together, they made a very strong, competent team that were ready for any challenge that could arise being in a blimp during their patrol. So at 6:03 in the morning, the L-8 lifted gracefully into the morning sky. The weather conditions were ideal. They were clear skies, calm seas, and a gentle breeze. And the mission would take them westward over the Farallon, I'm guessing that's how it's pronounced, islands, where the possibility of encountering enemy submarines was high. Now, Cody and Adams maintained their route procedures during the flight. They were navigating and communicating with the base, and they were scanning the ocean surface for any signs of enemy activity. Around 7:30 in the morning, the L-8 sighted an oil slick about 4 miles off the coast. This was a crucial clue, as oil slicks often signaled the presence of a submarine. So Cody and Adams decided to investigate further. They descended from 1,000 feet to around 300 feet to get a closer look. Cody radioed the base, and he confirmed their location at that time and their intent to continue investigating. At 7:42 in the morning, they sent their final message, and that said, still investigating oil slick. No visible signs of enemy activity at this time. And then silence. Nothing more ever came from them.
Spooky.
I know. Now, their scheduled check-ins were all missed, and the base tried repeatedly to contact the L-8, but no response came. Meanwhile, out at sea, fishermen and sailors started noticing this blimp behaving erratically. It started rising and falling with the altitude without any clear direction. Some people were reporting that they were seeing the L-8 circling the oil slick before it drifted inland. Now, witnesses described the blimp's engines as sounding normal, but something was clearly wrong. By 9 o'clock in the morning, the L-8 was spotted over the Golden Gate Bridge, flying low, too low.
Have you ever heard a blimp motor?
Mm-mm.
We was at home one day and kept hearing this really weird humming sound. We couldn't figure out what it was, and we went out, and the Goodyear blimp was flying over the house.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was really cool, and it sounds so weird.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really weird
sound. Well, it would make sense then of why people would notice it, because, I mean, if it's flying in the sky, you're going to hear it.
Yeah.
Especially back then, it was probably a lot louder.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. People weren't used to all the, yeah. So the blimp appeared to sag as though it had lost helium.
You know all about that, don't right, Kim?
She's sagging. But the engines were still running, so people could hear those engines still. The Navy's concern grew as the L-8 began drifting toward Daly City, apparently at the mercy of the wind. So at 11:15 a.m., the L-8 gently descended into a Daly City neighborhood. It started brushing against rooftops and grazing trees before finally coming to rest in the street. The gondola was intact, and it seemed to offer no clues at first glance. Residents rushed to the scene, expecting to find Cody and Adams inside, alive or injured. But no one was in there. The gondola was empty. And the mystery deepened as the Navy began investigating. They quickly secured the crash site, expecting some sign of the missing crew. But again, there was nothing. The gondola's door was open, and a microphone cable hung loosely out of the opening. Inside, all of the safety equipment remained. Parachutes, life jackets, and even the inflatable life raft was still stowed and unused. Personal belongings, such as the officers' caps and a briefcase containing classified materials, were undisturbed. All the instruments were functional, and the depth charges were still secured in place. The controls were set for level flight, and while the engines had stopped, it was likely due to fuel exhaustion after drifting. There were no signs of mechanical failure. The radio worked just fine. In further complicating the situation, why hadn't they sent a distress signal? There were no signs of a struggle, and the gondola was free of any damage or indication that the crew could have hastily exited. So with no clear answers, theories started flooding in to explain this disappearance. Some suggested that Cody or Adams might have fallen overboard by accident. Perhaps one went outside to inspect something and fell, with the other trying to help and then suffering the same fate. But why wouldn't they have used the safety harnesses? The Navy dismissed this scenario, as both officers were highly experienced, so they should have known better to do that. Now, other areas that people have leaned into has been enemy action. Perhaps they were captured by a Japanese submarine or attacked. However, no submarines were reported in the area, and the blimp showed no signs of combat damage.
How the hell do they get from a submarine into a blimp?
Right.
Maybe want, you know, the opposite, but...
Right,
beam
exactly.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Beam me up, Scotty. So could it be foul play? Could a mutiny between those two crewmen have happened? Well, there was no evidence of a struggle, and both men were known for their professionalism and their strong working relationship.
They were lovers and ran off together.
Right.
Ooh.
They had a boat waiting.
It does kind of remind me a little bit of Brokeback Mountain.
That would be romantic. We spent 1,200 hours in that blimp, mm-hmm. and now we're living in Mexico.
You want to go down and investigate the oil slip? Okay. So, as I mentioned, there were no sign of a struggle. So if that was the belief, there was no sign of it, so there was no evidence for it. Now, someone speculated that maybe they deserted, maybe they just left. But
that's
they left.
I'm thinking.
But they left their personal belongings, including classified documents, on board. The Navy was thorough in the investigation. They combed through every possible explanation. They searched the ocean, they searched land, and the sky. But no trace of Cody or Adams was ever found. And as the years passed, the disappearance of the ghost blimp continued to captivate researchers. Some proposed the crew might have been incapacitated by fumes or mechanical failure, forcing them to exit the gondola. But again, no evidence supported this theory. Speculation about sabotage, espionage, or even paranormal phenomenon. All I can hear right now is the alien theorist, you know? Ancient aliens, yeah. Could it be?
Astronaut theorists say yes.
Yes. But all of those theories lacked credible or hard evidence. And with technical advancements, modern analysts have revisited the case. And digital reconstructions of the flight path were done with psychological profiling and materials analysis have been attempted. But none of those have been able to bring us closer to solving the mystery.
Dun, dun, dun.
So the Ghost Blimp L8 incident left a lasting mark on aviation history. It prompted the Navy to tighten security measures, requiring mandatory use of safety harnesses and improving communication systems. The mystery of Cody and Adams' disappearance, however, still remains unsolved. The ghost blimp has also found its place in popular culture. It's been featured in documentaries, books, and even fictional stories that reimagine the bizarre events of that day. For mystery lovers, it remains an enduring enigma, a tale of two dedicated officers vanishing into thin air during a routine mission. Ultimately, the ghost blimp is a symbol of the unexplained, a reminder that even in our modern age, some mysteries resist explanation. It invites us to contemplate the thin line between the known and the unknown, and to reflect on the bravery of those who have served, even when their stories end in uncertainty. And that's all for my mystery, but I do have some more details that I will share during the Unmasked.
Well, I tell you what, if I ever joined the armed forces, I would go to the nearest veterinary clinic. Hey, put one of them tracking chips in my neck. Like, at least until you're done. Like, they should... I would want that. So they should do that, have that as an option.
Our grandma's turning her grave right now.
The mark of the beast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
She would be turning.
Grandma's not happy right now.
Hey, if I get taken and by enemies or whatnot, just type my...
Josh, I can just see Josh right now. He gets kidnapped and he's like, I hope no one... sexually assaults me.
No, I hate this.
None of you boys. Just, and then all of a sudden they're like, hey, Susie, come over here. Help Josh be like,
no. I'll tell you whatever you want.
Put your boob up against his face. Here are all the USC threats.
I just hate to be tied to the bed and ravaged for weeks on end.
By you boys.
Only water and bread to eat. This is terrible. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Now, I read a story recently about I believe it was an autistic man who survived a shipwreck, and they eventually found him on an island after several weeks, like a few months, and he told him to piss off. He didn't want to be rescued.
Oh my God.
They said he was actually thriving on the island. They had plenty of food and stuff. Yeah. He had built a shelter and enjoyed the isolation. I was like,
it does sound kind of
nice. I can relate to that.
Nice shelter.
To a hurricane or something. I'd be like, leave me one of them satellite phones just in case, but yeah, get out of here.
All right, come get me. I'm going to go to the Holiday Inn for a little bit while this hurricane blows over.
I need a real toilet.
Right.
I'll let you go first, Kim.
I'm going to bring up the second. Rear. Go ahead.
Well, I ended mine so to do the close out like I always do. Follow us. And
so go ahead, Kim. Stuff.
Okay. Well, mine are... Okay, here's the story.
Oh, boy.
So.
I should have peed her.
Two jobs is no joke. I was so tired last night. Took me forever to get my pumpkin done. I finally got it done. And I sat down at 9:30-ish. And I'm like, okay, I got to get my mystery done for tomorrow. And the next thing I know, I woke up at 1 a.m. So I'm like, now what am I going to do? So I came up with the easiest thing that I could think of.
Oh, it's okay. No one listens to hear you stumbling through a script, Kim.
Shut it.
Did you bring us a stripper, Kim?
No.
It's me.
Oh, I thought you were saying it was her. I was like, please God, no.
I'm sweating.
So we have...
She's working for the Japs.
Fun facts and useless trivia for Halloween.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, that's fun.
All right. Did you know that Illinois produces the most pumpkins in any other state?
I have no idea.
Illinois.
Yeah, Illinois.
That's so bizarre.
Isn't that amazing?
I guess because, I mean, other than like a few Amish people, like you don't really see like fields of pumpkins growing
around here. I feel like Cher right now.
No matter how hard I try.
Do I have this down far enough?
You'd be sweating up a storm.
Sure.
Shane's enjoying having hair.
Some people used to try to find husbands during Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
This was during the 18th century.
You want to come carve my bum?
Mm-hmm. I forget there was a lore to it. Like if you spun around three times or something. Or no, if you peel an apple and drop it into a thing of water, then whatever initial the apple peel would take, that would be the initial of your...
Gosh.
Usually it was a C.
Yeah, that's... Okay. Yeah, so it says some include throwing apple peels over their shoulders with the hopes of an initial forming an initial.
I thought that the superstition was if you stroke it three times, you have to put a ring on it. I thought that was it.
Only three?
Josh has been married 24 times.
3 hours.
In the last month.
Do you guys like candy corn?
Oh, no.
I cannot stand
it. I've eaten two bags already.
Candy corn was originally called chicken feed.
Yeah.
The only time I can eat candy corn is if it has nuts in it.
Like that's how I eat it.
Oh, yeah.
I put honey sweet roasted and salty peanuts in it.
Yeah.
Sweet and sweet.
That sounds like Josh.
The word witch comes from an Old English word, wise, meaning wise woman.
Oh. You
well, know, we turned that around, didn't we?
When I went to Renaissance Fair this past week, it was Viking weekend when I went, and I looked up what the Vikings called witches, and they were called Volvos, which is where the term vulva came from.
How about that?
That's what I dressed up as. The a witch, vulva? Not the vulva.
Oh, oh, my God.
Touch my flaps.
I was like, Josh, you're doing all the ladies a favor by showing them where the mythical
clitoris is. Trying to teach the men.
Right?
All right. The world's heaviest jack-o'-lantern weighed 2,684 pounds and 2 ounces.
Oh, oh, that's fun.
That's just a drop in the bucket.
No kidding.
In Ireland, where Halloween originated, people celebrated by setting off fireworks.
Oh,
that's cool.
Isn't that interesting?
Sally.
In Germany, it's a tradition for people to hide their knives on Halloween night.
Like, I can see that. They've seen Scream too many times.
No kidding.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why they would have. I don't know. So people originally carved turnips instead of pumpkins.
Yeah.
Do you know the reasoning behind it?
Because they didn't have pumpkins yet in that country.
No.
They weren't discovered until they were, all pumpkins originated from here in America, North America.
Right. Oh, wow. So originally it was, the tradition was from Ireland in the 19th century, and the immigrants, they used to do turnips over there, and then the immigrants come over here, they found out that pumpkins are cheaper and easier to carve because turnips are very hard to carve,
I guess. They're tiny. I feel like it looked like the shrunk heads from like...
That's exactly what it looks like. I looked up the pictures of it. It is so weird looking.
I might get some turnips.
Yeah, it's really weird.
I've never used turnips for anything.
Mom eats them all the time, and I'm like, what are you, a peasant in the 15th century? No, I think it's so funny. Mom, I mean, I know you like them, but it's funny to me. I'm like, I've only seen those in movies about peasants.
Well, and the funny thing is I've never been in a restaurant where they have served turnips.
I've had mashed turnips.
I don't know that I've ever even had turnips.
No, I don't know that I can pick
it out. Not a lot different than a little starchier, thicker starch than a potato.
Interesting.
Well, now we know.
I mean, not that I would actually try one if I had the chance.
I'll take the potato.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my headphones are falling off.
Stephen Clark holds the record for the world's fastest pumpkin carving with a time of 16.47 seconds.
Jesus Christ. Wow.
Wonder if that's the only thing he's quick at.
I know. Never want to date a man who does things fast like that. What do you do? Oh, I'm a world record faster. No, thank you. An overeater, though. That I can.
This one kind of shocked me. Pumpkins are actually classified as a fruit and not a vegetable.
Yep. I did know that, yeah. Because it has seeds.
Is that why? Yeah.
You wouldn't, I mean, just think about like the pumpkin spice latte. Would you eat a carrot spice latte or a tomato spice?
Okay. I get it. Okay.
I'm going to think about that the next time I go to a coffee store.
Anything,
I get a carrot spice latte, please.
Anything that goes with cinnamon is generally a fruit, is what I've learned.
Mm, that's fun.
Awesome.
Except chicken.
Halloween. Halloween originated from an ancient Celtic festival. The origins of Halloween date back 2,000 years to an ancient Celtic festival of Samhain.
Samhain.
Okay, thank you. I knew you would know. Which was celebrated on October 31st on the eve of their new year, according to the History Channel. The Celtics believed that the dead returned to Earth that night, and so they lit bonfires and donned costumes to ward off the ghosts.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I never give people hard times because I only know how it's pronounced is because I used to say Samhain because that's how it's spelled. Mm-hmm. I mean, how am I supposed to know that it's pronounced with like a sound? And people would correct me and like be rude about it. Like, how dare you say a sacred holiday? And I'm like, how? I grew up in Indiana. How are you supposed to know till you hear it out loud? Like, I just have read it. It's not like my Baptist family was saying it.
Right.
That's the devil's day.
Candy wasn't given out for trick-or-treaters until the 1950s.
It's too expensive. Oh. Mm-hmm. Liquor used to be in some places. Or some kind of alcohol. And adults would do it, too. Like it was more of an adult thing than for children to go out to the treat.
Before they started giving out candy and stuff, they would give out pieces of cake, fruit, nuts, coins, and little toys.
I wish they could. I wish they would do that for adults.
I've been to some where
there's some cheesecake.
When I would take my godson trick or treating, there's one place every year they'd have a grill set up, and the kid, like everybody, would get candy and a hot dog.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, how lovely. You know, there's some people, could I have razor blades? I'm like, it is freezing because it was back when it was cold in October before climate change.
Oh, that's good.
Right.
This will be a huge shock to everybody. It was until the 1950s when candy makers began to promote their goods for Halloween.
Oh,
that's how the candy
started. Yeah, now they freaking line the shelves. Mm-hmm.
People wait till the day after and then scoop it up.
Right.
Reese's Cup is America's favorite candy.
Oh.
The least favorite is Circus Peanuts. What's your favorite, Josh?
I love a good Butterfinger.
And your least?
Oh, anything licorice flavor. There's not a lot of. There's not a lot of candy I don't like. Surprise, surprise. But anything licorice or anise is what the flavor is. Or sour. I don't do sour.
No, I will say those candy peanuts. Disgusting. I can't stand them.
See, I love the texture. I remember that I liked them as a kid, but I'm not sure that I would like
them.
It's
like a styrofoam for me. No, I can't.
What's your favorite, Shane?
Candy?
Maple nut.
Halloween candy. What's your favorite?
I'd say Skittles. I mean, it's going to switch. I don't have candy very often.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, what do I feel like today?
I like the old fat, like maple nuts, cowtails.
I do like the maple nuts.
I don't like cowtails.
Oh, I love them.
I don't like those.
I do like some cowtails. I don't really care for the Oreo ones. I like the original.
Yeah, they have caramel apple and cherry. No, just give me the.
Mm-mm.
I do like the caramel apple suckers that they have. Those are really good. Do you have one?
Well, Kim will suck on anything for $1.
I guess so.
Okay.
The Worthen's caramel.
Look
apple
at him
worms.
Getting name brand.
Oh, I love Werther's.
Where's that fan, Josh?
Ouch.
He's got those Werther's.
That feels good.
Huh? It probably would feel good with his wig.
I have to agree. Reese's is probably my favorite. And I don't like the little things that are like peanut butter. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Look at him digging around in his
a little
bag. Yes.
Yeah. Oh no, I don't like those either.
I don't like those. Yeah, I don't like them.
I realized I'm like an old person when it comes to candy. I like the old fashioned, like these maple nuts, popcorn balls.
I do love me a bit of honey.
Yes. I love sugar daddies.
Yes, I love those too. Babies. Sugar babies. Yeah, those are all good.
I love the what are the little chocolate mints? Junior mints.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
I love those.
Okay. Right behind Christmas, Halloween is the second most commercial holiday in the U.S.
I believe it.
A lot of candy going on. Mm-hmm.
America's out in July.
Americans spend about $6.9 billion on Halloween, most of it in candy costumes and parties.
Mm.
Lord have mercy. Mm-hmm. See, this time of year is when I'm like, I don't really spend a lot of money on it. I did like to get the decorations I want over time, where now I don't need anything more because I have space for it. But this, I like to go out in the woods and watch all the trees. I like a good free bonfire and some, you know, hot cider.
Right.
Simple things.
Now, this doesn't surprise me at all, but it also said, surprisingly, a big chunk of it also is Halloween costumes for pets.
Mm. Yeah.
I have huge spiders in my house right now.
That's disgusting.
I bought Ziggy a spider costume.
I love those on wiener dogs.
Well, I told you, you know, they had those little ring spiders, and one of them had fallen underneath my bed once. And, you know, I'm just cleaning stuff up. And
oh, my God.
I think, oh, my God.
I'm surprised you didn't piss your pants.
Well, no. So I thought that it was one of those ring spider things because I had gotten some. And I was like, oh, shoot, one of those little things fell down here. And I went to go reach for it and it moved. You talk about scream.
So I saw the biggest spider I've ever seen in Indiana just the other day. And I thought it was one of those rings because it just like all of a sudden appeared.
Yeah.
And like my eye caught it, but I was like, I don't recall having any of those spider rings this year. I said no to those. And then it moved. And I went and got the broom.
It's not like Josh to say no. I feel like that's so weird.
Here, I can see Josh now.
Are you still going?
Yes, I'm still going. The average American eats 3.4 pounds of Halloween candy. Josh?
I say that's true.
See, here's the
thing. I think you make up for both of us.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Over 10 pounds of candy. Yeah. I can't feel my toes, but happy Halloween.
Why can't Josh go out of bed today?
Don't be scared if you see a spider on Halloween. This is believed to be the spirit of a deceased loved one who's watching over you.
Grandma would never.
No.
The Michael Myers mask in Halloween is the face of a well-known celebrity.
William Shatner.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is William Shatner.
I knew that also.
See, I didn't know that.
From Star Trek.
The reason they had used him was because there was a bunch of them from costumes of Kirk or whatever he plays. I can't remember the name of the captain.
Star Trek, man.
Yeah. So there was a bunch of those masks, and so they just
painted it white.
Yeah, they had some extras.
Interesting.
I saw if you put a long wig on one, it looks like Mariah Carey.
Yeah, and they cut out the eyes a little bit, I think, and they painted it white. But if you, now every time I see it, I always think, oh yeah, that looks just like him.
I know. Poor William Shatner for Halloween. He's like, that's me.
Mm-hmm. Every 19 years, there's a full moon on Halloween.
Oh, that's fun.
Mm-hmm. And then during World War II, they actually put a pause on trick-or-treating because there was so much rationing of the sugar. They weren't able to make a lot of.
What were they using sugar for? Maybe
send to soldiers. Send to the men over there. I can't say that.
Yep. And that's the end of my fun facts.
How fun. I love fun facts.
Yeah, that was a nice little break in between the two stories.
Trick or treat. Shane and Kim, I have a treat for you both.
I love popcorn balls. Oh my God, I am so excited.
I've never had one of these.
And I thought you said you've never had one of these either, so I got...
Oh, I love those too. Thank you.
The little pumpkins.
I love it.
A little caramel apple... Werther's.
I didn't know they made caramel apples.
Yeah. They have them year round too. I only had one sucker,
I've never had one.
They're really good. And did you guys know they have other flavors of the apples besides just the green?
No, I didn't.
They have Red Delicious, the golden ones, and the green. The bags, those are the first ones that sell out like every year, but they come in a variety of bags.
Mm.
I took that one from a friend's house. Last time I was there, I was like, ooh, one red. I like the red's my favorite.
Right. Yeah.
See, I like the green. I'm a Granny Smith person.
But yeah, I fell asleep with my ex one time with one of those in my mouth. And he said he.
Candy?
Yeah. The sucker. And he said he tried to take it out of my mouth when I was sleeping, and I growled at him like I had it, you know, in my cheek, and he just pulled it.
What's a sign you have a sugar addiction?
I prefer oral fixation. Well, you guys have your treats, and my mystery today is enough to make you grab your rosary beads and start talking in tongues.
Oh boy.
And if you do, give me a call. This time of year always puts me in the mood to watch movies about hauntings, witches, and especially demons. So far, I've watched An American Haunting, a movie about the Bell Witch origins, A Haunting in America, all of them, and The Conjuring series, my personal favorite. Who doesn't love seeing Patrick Wilson's big booty running from demons? That's half the reason I watch him. I'll watch him in anything. My favorite, though, are from The Conjuring universe, and they are The Nun 1 and 2. So far, they have been the scariest version of a demon I've ever seen, which is why I like them so much. They, like, give me goosebumps, and they really scares me.
Yeah, I do not do scary movies.
In them, spoilers, a name gives you dominion over a demon, and the demon's name is Valak, the Defiler, the Profane, and the Marquis of Snakes.
Oh, my gosh.
As the name gives away, it takes the shape of a nun, here to collect as many souls for hell as it can. And this is the story of the inspiration behind the nun.
Ooh.
Her name was Josephine Rosenthal, and she lived near Naples, Italy in the mid-1700s. She had been a nun at a convent since she was a teenager and was now only 17. Well, one day, after several missed menstrual cycles, Josephine realized that she was pregnant.
Oh, boy.
The thing was, though, she had taken a vow of chastity and had never laid with a man. Not even butt stuff.
What have I?
I would never.
How could anybody do that?
Kim's doing butt stuff right now. Of course, no one believed her, and she was repeatedly questioned. They even performed those barbaric virginity tests and multiple examinations, and it turns out she was telling the truth. As you can imagine, for Italian Catholics in the 1700s, as soon as they realized she was a virgin and pregnant, they started thanking Immaculate Conception. That God was using Josephine as a vessel for the next coming of Christ. Jesus.
Oh, literally.
Josephine was then cared for as the new coming of the Virgin Mary, and word began to spread that the second coming was nigh. She carried the baby for 6 months and gave birth to a baby girl named Maria. Sadly, due to complications with the delivery, Josephine died later of a hemorrhage. And although they no longer believed she was Jesus, because she was a girl, Maria was still considered a blessing and a sign from God. Can't be Jesus, because she got that whisker biscuit. So Maria stayed at the convent and was raised by the nuns, training her whole life to be one and a powerful tool of Christianity. As Maria grew older, though, strange things began to happen around her. When she became angry, things would fly off the walls. She also began to receive prophetic dreams, but only of the deaths of those around her. And eventually, even the sight of the cross or the touch of holy water would cause her to have debilitating headaches. It all only got worse, and by the time Maria was 16 and ready to take her vows, the priest began to believe that Josephine was not actually impregnated by God or an angel, but instead was by a demon, one of the incubuses from myth. It all came to a climax one night when everyone in the convent was awoken by screams of agony coming from Maria's room. They raced in and saw her looking feral, screaming and burning hot, scribbling on a paper in the corner. No matter how hard they tried, no one could overpower her to lay her on the bed. Each time, she would fly them off and began writing again. Finally, several men were able to wrestle her to the bed, and she was tied down. The priest then performed an impromptu exorcism, which would last for the next 3 days. During that, Maria was yelling out in Latin, ancient Arabic, and unknown languages in a voice that was not hers. The priest claimed that they were able to expel the demon, but unfortunately, Maria lost her life from exhaustion. The paper she was writing on was taken, blessed, and they even attempted to decipher the strange languages it was written in, believing it to be a note from Lucifer himself. Oh, it's almost screaming.
I was like, what
is that? I'm possessed! Oh, shit! Not like this!
I refuse.
Now everyone in the...
Sorry, Josh.
I was quaffing.
Sorry.
Now everyone in the convent believed that Maria was the bastardized offspring of a demon who mated with Josephine. And they did not want it to get out that they were so wrong in thinking she was divine. They then blessed her body and decapitated her. They buried her body in the chapel garden.
I'm so sorry.
I'm going to slice your wrist. That's the reaction. They blessed her body and decapitated her. Then they buried her body in the chapel garden beneath several tons of stone. Her head was then burned, and the ashes were poured into melted silver and cast into a cross. How to get rid of a demon 101, man ain't coming back. Their secret remained hidden for the next 250 years until lightning struck a tree in 1972 in the chapel garden. When crews pulled up the roots, they stumbled upon Maria's resting place and found her headless body and the note she had written. They were later able to locate a diary of one of the nuns who had taken care of not only Josephine, but had helped to raise Maria as well, which is what told them all what happened. The silver cross is believed to have been sent to the Vatican and is still kept in its vast catacomb library, now as a holy relic. So take this tale as a warning, and I'll take the delight. For all this was a trick on this most mischievous night.
No.
Whatever.
I started with a treat, so I owed them a trick, because none of that was true.
That's funny.
Oh my gosh.
Except the part about Patrick Wilson's butt.
Do you mean
we really... Is that on our board or on
his?
Yes,
on mine.
Should have made
that. We really
need to... the demon boys.
Oh, yeah.
Now, here, I got one. You ready? Who here would like to sleep with Kim? Is that crickets, Kim?
I think I heard someone running.
Help me.
Pardon me.
Kim.
I'm so tight. Just air has to squeak out.
But...
That's Kim.
That is you.
That's what it sounds like when we're on road trips in the Mystery Machine.
Thank you.
Oh, there we go.
I'll be here all night.
Drive the wheel.
I need that just for myself.
We need to do that at the end of every episode, just so we can give ourselves a round of applause.
Now, anytime someone gives a good joke, we'll have to do that. Okay.
Well, since we can no longer do trick-or-treating, I was trying to think of what to do for my thing, and I was like, I want to play a trick on our mystery listeners.
How have I never heard that?
Yeah, I know, I was too.
Well, I mean, leave it up to the Catholics to do something crazy. Yeah. Like
that. Well, I've had it as an idea I've almost done it for our past mysteries. I'm like, I want to come up with a complete, like, about a cryptid, or and then right at the very end be like, none of this is true, guys.
Gotcha.
Want to have them on the edge of their seats.
That's what I thought.
Didn't you like that part about the cross? I was like, if I wanted to get rid of a demon, what would I was like, burn it and make it into a cross.
But I mean, I could see it, you know.
Yeah.
They're all fucking crosses and objects. Well, so does that mean that we're done now? Do you have a close for us,
Josh? Yes, I have our spiel. I hope you all enjoyed my trick. Happy Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
A huge thank you to our wonderful patrons. A big thank you to Jesus M. I had to say it. I was like, it's spelled, you know, Jesus. I was like, hey, Jesus M. Lynn R., Bianca, and Veronica Z., and everyone who supports the podcast everywhere. If you are not on Patreon but still want to support the podcast, why not join our YouTube community at It's Mystery, Inc.? Subscribe, like, and leave a comment, and it'll mean the world to us.
It will.
Follow us on Patreon for bonus episodes of Unmasked and insights into our personal lives. I also have cooking videos. We do little games, live events, and Cam auctions off her little crocheted creations. You can find us under the username at It's Mystery, Inc.
And don't forget about our little thing that we're doing right now. If we get 15 new patrons.
Yes, I think we're up to 7.
Are we?
I can't remember.
I've not looked.
It's on Patreon. There's a countdown.
Yeah.
Something I haven't looked for a while either.
Well, don't forget our website. It's MysteryInc.com, where you can listen to past episodes and buy some of our merchandise. We have shirts, tumblers, coffee cups, Amazonite necklaces, and little crystal dicks.
All the good stuff.
And for a limited time, you can buy your own hour with Kim.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Cost us $5 a minute, but you look like a $2 brother.
Basement Rick will be happy because his shirt came in, so we can get that mailed out.
And I have our tumblers for I think I have two or three to send to people.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget to send us a postcard at P.O. Box 690, Wabash, Indiana, 46992.
It's so easy to remember because all you have to think is
69.
Oh.
Right.
Oh.
That's what I always
Did
say.
Did anybody happen to check the mail this week?
I don't have a key.
I forgot. I forgot I had the key.
Boy, I tell you.
Well,
can't leave nothing to you two.
Thank you all for joining us today. And remember, why don't witches wear panties? So they can grip the broom better.
Oh my God.
Good job, Josh. Good job.
Kim would slide right off of there. I love that button.
Mine always do.
Hope you all have a spooky, spooky Halloween.
Yeah, and we'll see you on Unmasked for some dirty, dirty
change. A costume change.
Yeah.
A costume change?
Yeah.
Really?
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Strange Familiars is a weekly podcast which explores the weird corners of the world. From Bigfoot and other cryptids to ghosts, UFOs, folklore, and forgotten history. We don't just talk to authors and researchers. We talk to actual witnesses of the paranormal.
As he came in, the power flickered off again. I don't think I had ever been as scared of anything. It flickered back on and he was right beside me. And he got really close to my face and he said, "Stay away from things you don't understand."
We don't just talk about haunted places and spooky forests. We go there and we take the listeners with us.
What? Did you see that? You saw that, right?
Did you see something move there?
Yeah. A flash. In the dark.
Yeah.
Find Strange Familiars wherever you listen to podcasts or at strangefamiliars.com.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.